The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. What a week. Or should I say, what week? Gone again. Just amazing. And it lasts about 3 days now. If that. First hour tonight we're going to spend with our friend and colleague, Commander Harry Cooper. That's my honorary title for him. It kind of has a good ring to it. Harry has had a life that would be a truly great screenplay for a major motion picture. He's done it all, and he's not even nearly finished. If you go into guests at Rents, look under Harry's name for photos. And please click on photos and load them up, because we're going to take a little stroll through a lot of fascinating history, as we always do with Harry. Second hour tonight, Dr. Henry Nyman back with the latest update on the rather shocking increase in Ebola cases and deaths today. And we'll move on to David John Oates in Hour 3 with some reverse speech newsmakers. Well, Mr. Cooper, how are you?
I'm doing fine now with my new promotion to Commander.
Commander? I think you deserve Commander.
Commander. I've got all sorts of ranks with all sorts of outfits. I'm a Kentucky colonel. I was a sergeant in the Air Force. I was a flotilla commander with the Coast Guard Auxiliary. It goes on and on.
Nice. You were the commander of the Entenmann's fleet, too, but you ate it all.
Yeah.
Remember, folks, Entenmann's? When I still was eating things like that, Entenmann's was, I kid you not, as good as it gets.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know if it still is, but probably. They had some things that just were astounding. Whoever put that company together was brilliant, deserves a lot of credit, and had an imagination that is second to none in terms of how to please the palate. That's a great stuff.
Yeah, that was Charlie Entenmann's father. Charlie took over the company many, many years ago because he's now retired. I'm guessing he's about 80. I had lunch with him a few weeks ago. Nice guy. Great guy.
Well, Charlie, if you're listening, hello, and thanks for the memories. I really enjoyed your food. I'm a vegan now, but I have very fond recall of many wonderful hours with milk and Entenmann's.
Yeah, especially the coffee cakes, the raspberry coffee cake.
You got it. They had another one. It was a cinnamon. I can't remember. But it was something else. I'm sure they still make it, and I'm sure it's still as good as it was.
Right, right. And I sneak some of that every so often. I'm not supposed to have too much sugar anymore, I guess, when you get old, but I still sneak my sugar, and I'm still alive and kicking and going forward.
You have fun, my friend.
Yeah, the heck with the doctor.
Doctors kill more people than disease, I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, we want to bring people up to date on the book, the landmark book, the book, not a copy, not a clone. Everyone's been stealing Harry Cooper's work. It's called Hitler in Argentina, and if you want to find out the truth about World War II and its aftermath, this is the book for you. There's another book coming out we're going to talk about as well, but Hitler in Argentina is the God's truth, the documented truth of Hitler and Eva Braun's escape from Berlin and their lives. Well, as much as we know of them, they did go on to live the rest of their lives, and if Eva Braun is still alive, it wouldn't surprise me, but in Argentina, and I say bravo and more power to them. So.
Yeah, well, there's not much we can do about it now. But there's you see picture number one there, if your listeners are following along. That's the book. That was the cover designed by your friend, David Dees. The guy is one brilliant cover designer. Of course, you had a lot of input, too, into the cover. And the key word that you use there is documented. So many other people write books about various subjects. And they do almost their entire research in the library. You can't learn anything in the library. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. You can't get first-hand information in the library. Boots on the ground is the only way to do it.
Yeah.
And I've been to Germany every year since 1988. I'm leaving for Germany again in a couple of weeks, meeting with a bunch of veterans, et cetera. And as you know, I've been down to Argentina four times, Brazil once, and next year in March, I'm going back to not only Argentina, but Paraguay and Uruguay, because there was and is so much going on down there from the Third Reich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the photos I've sent you, which you've got up for your listeners to see, and the photos we've got on the website are just a fraction of what we have got from our agents down there. And so we're going down to do firsthand photography and interviews. My guy down there has just found, I forget if it was Martin Bormann's secretary or Dr. Mengele's secretary. And she's waiting to talk to me when I get down there. So.
You're kidding.
No, not kidding.
That was the big secret.
Wow. Yeah, there's lots of big secrets.
That's astounding.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, video, and, please.
Well, yeah, and there's other, yeah, I'm going to look like a damn traveling junk man because I'm going to have cameras and camcorders all hanging all over me.
God, I'd go with you and carry all your stuff. I'd caddy for you if I could.
Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, and for what it's worth, I'm back to the martial arts school because stealing cameras from traveling gringos is a national sport down
yeah,
there, I'm told.
Yeah.
And they won't let me carry a gun, so.
Well, you probably, it's winter down there, so you can have a big coat. You can stick them inside. Get coats with inside zippered pockets.
Yeah.
And
first
seriously.
Off, it's not winter down there when I go. March is the, that's autumn down there.
Oh, that's right.
And getting from here to down there with the gun, the TSA probably would get excited about that.
Yep.
So,
no,
you know how them guys like to rain on your parade.
Oh, God.
But,
by the way, you mentioned Paraguay, and in case you folks don't know this, and most of you do, the land near the town of Chaco, Chaco, sits atop a huge natural gas reserve. That's according to sources in Asuncion. That's the land that the Bush family bought.
Oh.
What's that?
I said, oh.
They bought a huge tract of land in Paraguay. What do they know that we don't? Sitting
yeah.
on an enormous aquifer, natural gas. I don't know, 42,000 hectares. That's 100,000 acres.
Wow.
In Paraguay's northern Chaco region. So that's considered safe by the powers that be down there. So
yeah, and also remember, you read in our magazine and also our hot mails that Russia has signed a deal with Argentina.
Uh-huh.
They are the only people that can take the natural gas now out of Argentina.
Yep.
Way in southern Paraguay.
Yeah.
I was there, Patagonia. And to be able to get their ships in and out, their cargo ships, they have to modernize the harbors, and then they're going to put in warships down there, too.
Well, it's the world we live in. How much longer
yeah.
it'll last, I don't
well,
know.
Well, Putin is no dummy. I met Putin
yes.
some years ago and spent a half an hour with him, and he's not a dummy.
No, he's
and,
sharp.
And he's not afraid of anybody. He's not going to back down. He's a tough son of a gun.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But anyhow, that's the state of affairs down there.
Okay. Well, very good. Now, under the book, of course, is the new DVD. This I can't wait to see. I know your friends have produced something extraordinary.
Right. Robert Miles and his fiancée, Leslie Mitz.
Mm-hmm.
They've got their production company. And I got an email from Robert this morning. He's ready to ship. So we placed an order with him today, sent the checks to him, and we should have them in hand, a week to 10 days at the most. I got one with your name on it, earmarked for a gift.
Thank you.
It's very no nice problem. You're gonna, I look like hell in it, but that's okay. Maybe that's just the way I look. I don't know.
Hey, listen, cameras do funny things to people. It's what comes out of your mouth that counts.
Right, and I even was impressed when I saw the test.
Good for you. People like you and me are indeed our toughest critics. So that's I hear
right.
That. That's good. That's very good.
And your listeners can order the book and or the DVD. The book is $25 plus $6 shipping in the U.S. We don't ship overseas anymore because, first off, it costs a fortune.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
And secondly, they lose the damn book. Usually
yeah.
It's just probably going home with somebody in the mail department in the other country. But
customs people have a field day.
Right, we've had a couple of members get really angry at us because they paid for their book.
Yeah.
3 months later, they still don't have it, so we have to refund their money. And we don't have the money. They don't have the book.
Right.
So we don't ship the book overseas anymore.
Well, understand. Get somebody here in the States to buy it and then transship it. It's on their back then. That's all
exactly.
You can do.
Exactly. And the DVD is $30 plus $5 shipping in the U.S. or $10 shipping out of the U.S. And we have not had any problems with DVDs. And it's a multi-function. So in other words, whatever country you live in, it'll uh-huh. play on your machine.
Right. Get this. $55, $30, and $25, and you can actually finally get the truth about history. History has been so corrupted and perverted by the Zionists on this planet. It's sickening. Now you get the truth. $55. But
plus
it's hard.
Shipping.
Go ahead.
Plus shipping.
Plus shipping. A lot of people have been brainwashed for nearly their entire lives, so it's hard for them. But not this audience. They want the truth, and they know. And, you know, let the facts take you where they take you. Don't
yeah.
make any initial predispositions on this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about your listeners. That's why I like being on your show above all the others, because your people are looking for the truth. And we're bringing it to them as far as this part of history is concerned.
Oh, we have had so many wonderful programs, and they're
yeah.
all in the archives. On your site, my site, they can listen
right.
anytime and take picture tours with Harry. Okay, we're going to go through some more pictures here. Let's
okay.
go down to number three, Harry. What's this? What are we
okay.
looking at?
Before we move on to number three,
yeah.
just let your listeners know they can go to sharkhunters.com
mm-hmm.
and let their fingers do the walking. There's tons of stuff. And it's our new website up. We just got the first part of it up. It's still under construction, but I hope you like it.
It's a treasury. It is truly a treasury, that website.
A lot went into it.
Oh, what you've done is amazing. Okay.
Number three.
What are we looking at?
Okay, we switch off to something called the so-called Nazi bell, the Glocke. I still haven't figured out exactly what it does. The world expert on that is Igor Witkowski.
It's an anti-grav device of some kind.
Right, and he's a member of Shark Hunters, and he invited me to visit with him when I go over to Europe in a few weeks, but unfortunately, I just don't have the time.
Can we get him on the program?
Oh, I don't know. I can ask him.
I mean, unless he doesn't want to talk about it, but I'll do backflips to get him on if he's the number one expert.
Seriously. I'll ask him. I'll send him an email tomorrow and ask him.
Anybody you want on this program, you just consider the invitation in your hands. Do whatever
Fair enough.
You will.
Fair enough. Number three. Okay, if you look inside that small red circle, you'll see the word bell.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that was a remote airstrip. I can't even read the thing. I think it's Zeidnet or something like that. And they had several Junker Ju-290s there, which were long-range transport, and they had the only operational Junkers Ju-390s. They only made three of them, and one never got finished. And this was the second one. They were V1, V2, and V3.
That's on the cover of the book. That's the six-engine transport.
That is correct. And that plane could fly forever without refueling. So it was there at this base as well. Now, the red line around the outer perimeter, that shows... Now, this is not a map you can find in a book or buy at Funk and Wagnalls. This was hand-drawn for me by one of my agents. We call them SEIG agents, S-E-I-G, Shark Hunters, Eagle Hunters Information Group. And this particular agent is incredibly knowledgeable. And this agent drew this chart, and that outer red line shows where the Red Army was circling the area.
They were trying to get to that. They obviously were closing in on that area. They knew
correct.
Big prize was there.
Yep. And, the U.S. and Russia knew where all the hot spots were and trying to get there. Well, this one was way in the east, so obviously the U.S. couldn't get there, and the Red Army surrounded it. But a huge number of crack Waffen-SS troops were there, holding them off as long as they could. Well, the Ju-390 took off, and we are quite certain that the Bell was on board, the Glocke. And because that's what this SIG agent we call Pizarro, that's what Pizarro told me. And in another few weeks, I'll be spending a few days visiting with Pizarro as well. So that Ju-390 got out of there, and where did it go? Switch to photo number 4. That is an area in Uruguay, and you'll see the long red line left and right there, a horizontal line. Just above that is actually a highway. It's a 15-kilometer-long highway. And off to the left of that, you see a green circle. That green circle was a small wood. And the German contingent down there put an RDF in there, a radio directional finder, a radio beacon, so that the Ju-390 could find its way in. And it landed on that 15-kilometer-long highway.
What month would this have been? This would have been April or May?
That's correct. That's correct. Of 1945. Actually, it was photo number 3 was referencing the positions of everything on the 3rd of May, 1945.
And that's after the end, the formal end of hostilities, correct? There still was
The actual surrender was on 8th of May.
Yeah, but they're still fighting very hard in places there.
That's right. So on the 3rd of May, it was still heavy fighting.
You know, I got to stop for a second and honor the bravery and valor of the German fighting man.
That
the odds they were up against were overwhelming, and no force, I would suggest no force in history has ever fought more bravely or valiantly. And don't give me any dirty, evil Nazi stuff. This is war. This is people fighting to stay alive and to defend their country and following orders. And you didn't have to give these people orders but one time, the Germans. And they gave their every bit. And they were actually supermen in many ways.
Pretty much, yeah. The Waffen-SS was the green berets of the German military. And when I'm in Germany in a few weeks, I'll be meeting with a whole bunch of them. And if any of your listeners would like to find out about it, not for this year because there's just not enough time to put our ducks in a row, but I go every September because in southern Austria they have a memorial service where they remember everyone who fell in battle, no matter what uniform. And
understand.
So if any of your listeners would like information on that for 2015, we're putting together another small group over there. We are treated as royalty by these people over there. We get the invitation first before anybody else does. We we sit in the honor section, and well, there are evenings we get together for just fellowship, talking, singing, and of course drinking beer. They do that a lot in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not a very good Irishman. I don't drink beer.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's something you manage to hold down.
Yeah.
All right.
I stick with Pepsi now.
Oh, God. Just stay away from the diet stuff, will you?
Oh, God, that's horrible. Just all tastes right. Horrible.
Well, it's poison.
I know, but it's also horrible.
So anyhow,
I'm sorry, I got sidetracked here. But
it's all right. Well, we got also, to the Glock is on the ground.
Right, in photo number four, that's where it landed. And according to Pizarro, the aircraft was immediately destroyed, taken apart, cut into pieces, whatever, and disposed of. It's right. You'll notice it's right on the edge of a river. My guess is those engines probably just got dumped in the river.
Sure.
Because you're talking about a major job, taking six big engines apart, mm-hmm. with all the nuts and bolts and fittings and wires.
Yeah, they just roll them in the water.
Roll them in the water. So when I go this time, I'm going to be bringing a metal detector. Thanks to White's Metal Detectors, they donated one for this research.
Terrific.
So we're going to see if we can find any trace of that aircraft. Now, according to several sources, Pizarro for one, and Witkowski, the Bell went to that formerly secret island way down in Paraguay, down by Patagonia by Bariloche, which is where Hitler lived. And that's all in the book, Hitler's
uh-huh.
home, and there's photos of it and everything. But there's this island there in Lake Nahuelwapi.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1947, 2 years after the war ended, Dr. Ronald Richter and his team of scientists built a nuclear research facility there.
Might have been more than just nuclear. We don't know.
Yeah, right. And both Pizarro and Witkowski tell me that the Bell was taken there.
Really? And okay. So it was right. Wow, that's amazing.
Right.
We're going to go right to Todd. I'm going to go through this break. I want to make sure we get as much done as we can this hour. So thanks. Go ahead, Harry. Please.
Okay. So anyhow, one source says that after that area was abandoned by the German scientists, the Bell was taken to Area 51 and reverse engineered. Another source, I'm not going to attribute names
That's
to
okay.
these because they don't want, you know, they want
right.
anonymity. Another source says no, Odessa or Die Spinne, as mm-hmm. the Germans call it, still has it and it's under their control. So,
what a prize. What an amazing thing that would be. It is said that the people who worked on the project were told, you look out your windows at night and you hear noise or anything, you're dead.
Yeah.
Do not look out the windows. And the thing made a hell of a lot of noise, apparently. Hum.
Yeah, that's what I understand. It had, if I understand correctly, it had a pair of counter-rotating centrifuges,
mm-hmm.
or maybe inline, one accelerating the other. Much the way plastic is made out of gas. You know, you compress it, then it goes into a super compressor, then into a hyper compressor.
Mm-hmm.
And this Bell had something called Xerum, X-E-R-U-M, 525, which was like a a plasmoid, a mercurial plasmoid. Now, I'm no chemist.
Your physics is spilling out all over the place.
But anyhow, I'm reading up on it in Witkowski's book, Pravda de Wunderwaffe, The Truth
now,
About the Wunderwaffe.
He's the one that's still alive.
Oh, yeah. He's like 55 years old, I think, something like that. He was not around during the war,
right.
but
he's got the research.
He's an incredible researcher, yeah. And he goes places. He doesn't do his research in libraries and books. Right. He's been down to Patagonia.
Yeah.
and into many, many archives, et cetera. The guy, he's the number one guy in the world on this topic.
Certainly hope we can get him on at some point. That would be
wonderful. Well, I'll send him an email and ask. Looking at number five, you'll notice an arrow pointing toward Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that JU-390 landed. Plus, there's a heck of a lot more that we need to look at and people we need to speak to in Uruguay.
What's interesting, Harry, is Mercedes is not an indigenous name to Uruguay, and it would suggest to me, I may be wrong, but that Mercedes emanated from the family.
It could be.
And
could be.
Because they built the home that Hitler and Eva lived in.
Yeah, that's down on off the lake, Nahuelwapi, down by San Carlos de Bariloche. Well, actually, if you buy a Mercedes-Benz, you're actually buying it from the Daimler-Benz company.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, when they came out with the Mercedes, the guy that ran the company named it after his daughter, Mercedes. So I was told.
Very good.
So, anyhow.
All right.
Oh, incidentally, if your listeners would like a free copy of our magazine, just send an email at sharkhunters@earthlink.net and just say they want a free copy of the magazine. We'll get it off to them through the internet over the email.
Complimentary copy. It's a wonderful publication, full of history, and for you younger people, just to read through it will give you an idea of what happened not that long ago. Just remarkable stuff.
True enough.
Okay, there's a next one is Paraguay, number six.
Paraguay, number six. Number six, that's an area around Asunción. Now, this is where, and we'll look into this later, but this is in the area where Dr. Mengele lived for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go along, we'll see pictures of his home. And the little town near where he lived, even today, is 70% to 80% of the people are identical twins, which is, maybe there's something in the water, huh?
I think we can add one and one there and come up with twins.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
And there's people there that we're going to interview and take pictures of. And let's see, number seven, that's the entrance to the Grand Hotel of Paraguay. And that's where, that's where a lot of those guys stayed also. And we were going to interview a guy there at the hotel who is an older guy and has knowledge, but suddenly he got arrested for something. So,
really?
I don't know if he'll be out by then. Makes you wonder.
Well, not very much.
Yeah.
Figure that out. Yeah, I was going to ask you if there are many of the old timers still around there who understand that correcting world history, I think, would be okay with most everyone else, because those days are gone now. And let's get the record straight while they're still here. There must be some left, a few.
Well, there are plenty left, plus their children, et cetera. While they might want to see the history correct in some areas, they also don't want to come up on the radar.
Oh, of course not.
So,
yeah.
Then photo number eight. That's just a gathering down there in the 40s. We have hundreds of such photos, and you'll see some more as we go along that are not so old, but from Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile. The Third Reich was huge down there, and still is.
Easy, tens of thousands made it down there ultimately?
Oh, yeah, tens of thousands, you betcha. Plus, they were there ahead of time, Germans were, and we'll talk about that when we get to the new book, which we'll probably wrap up.
Well, hopefully we'll get there.
We hope so.
Skip along here.
Skip along, okay. 9 and 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, that's all Martin Bormann's house. Up in northern Argentina, right by the Paraguayan border. And
do you take these pictures Are these your pictures?
Taken by one of my people down there.
Okay. 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13.
And 14.
And 14. And that's Martin Borman's house, what's left of it.
Yeah, what's left of it, yeah. It was abandoned.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the down in the tropics, anything made out of wood goes away in a hurry if it's not taken care of.
Is that picture 13, is that Martin's bathtub?
I'm not sure about that. That's what I would think it was, but I don't know, so I got to get back to my guy down there, who we call Bolivar, and find out, because he's the one that took the picture.
Okay.
And we'll be going back there. And then, you stop me at any point you think I'm going too fast.
No, you're fine.
Number 15, 16, and 17, that's Mengele's house. And
now, that's still in good repair.
Right. It even has a satellite dish, but I doubt that Mengele was watching satellite TV back in those days.
No.
The new owner, I guess. But
I see the name Mengele, of course, almost genetically brings up the darkest of evil for people. That's just the name and its association that the Zionist media has drilled into the consciousness of most Western, well, the world, for that matter.
Yeah.
But he was a very complex and interesting man. He wasn't...
Right, and his family is still in Germany. His family, who was not involved with so-called war crimes, and a very, very wealthy family. I think they make farm implements. I don't remember what it is, but they're still a huge company in Germany. but you'll notice in photo 15, we have another tunnel system under the house. For some reason, them guys like to build tunnels.
Well, they're smart.
Yeah.
Look, the upper right quadrant, the upper right photo inset, is that the tunnel under the house?
Yeah, that's way under the house. So,
have you been there?
No, but I will be.
Uh-huh.
Especially, it probably says no pasar, which we know
means
Harry should come
in
here.
Harry's invited.
All yeah.
Right. That's pretty neat. Okay.
Yeah, and that and Ein Gang Verboten, they all mean the same thing. Harry should come in here. Number 18, that's some of Mengele's stuff that he left behind when he was staying at the Tiro Hotel. And the next photo, number 19.
Really? That's his camera and some photos and things?
Yeah, and a key and some other stuff.
Good grief. Do you know what that would bring on eBay?
Well, I don't know. I think eBay doesn't allow anything from the Third Reich, but in an auction, it would bring a ton of money.
Yeah.
But I got a feeling they're not going to want to let go of it.
You know, I had six original Hitler artworks.
Oh, boy.
They were small, 4 by 6 inches. The biggest one was 8.5 by 11 size, a pencil drawing. And a collector of German memorabilia offered to have it authenticated. I had already had it authenticated by Butterfield. I think it was Butterfield and Butterfield, and he took them, and that was the last I ever saw of them.
Oh, geez, yeah, that's unfortunately the case, and so many times we get a call from one of our members or somebody who's bought our book, and they call up and say, "Hey, I need to buy another book. I loaned my copy to a buddy, and he won't return it." So, okay, I'm happy to sell another book, but geez, you never loan out books like that.
What I need to do is, I've got photocopies. I took the guy to court and won, and he just declared bankruptcy.
Yeah, right.
Good luck.
That's an easy escape.
Yeah, I've got photocopies. I really should put them up on my site and offer a reward. They're out there. These things don't get destroyed. They're out there. Somebody's
right.
Got them. And I'd just like to get one of them back. At any rate, okay. I'm going to skip this break, too. I want to make sure we get
okay.
Through here. We're almost there, so...
Boy, your commercial sponsor is going to love this.
They understand. This is
okay.
Good. That's okay.
Photo 19, that's the Tirol Hotel today, and I'm going to be staying there.
Beautiful building. Oh, beautiful old building.
Oh, you betcha.
Yeah.
I've never been there, but I'm going to be, and I know I'm going to fall in love with the place.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to meet certain people there,
okay,
and also at the Grand Hotel in Asunción, meet special people there. But and I have to even leave my guide, my translator. I have to leave him behind somewhere.
Okay.
Fortunately, they speak German, and so do I. So I don't speak Spanish. Okay. Now the question about when did the Reich leave South America? When did it implode? When did it evaporate? It didn't. Look at photo number 20 and 21. 20 is a youth rally in Paraguay. 21 are Paraguayan politicians, and these photos were taken within the last decade. Photo 22, that was taken last year, 2013.
Huh.
And then photos 23, 24, 25, and 26, these were taken last year in Buenos Aires.
What is the symbol on the flags of photo 23? What does that mean?
Well, that's a swastika that ain't a swastika.
Okay.
Let me take another closer look at that. Well, it's an old runic symbol.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But I guess swastikas bring other attention.
Usually,
look on,
yeah,
on number 26, and somebody has spray-painted Division Adolf Eichmann. So apparently it's a group of young neos who want to honor Adolf Eichmann, you know, the guy who was kidnapped by the Mossad and taken back to Israel and hanged.
Yep. What's that 24? It's an obviously cremated or remains of people. It's a mausoleum.
That's in the cemetery where Langsdorff is buried.
Oh.
That's the German cemetery in Buenos Aires.
So
beautiful place.
There are a lot of officers and Third Reich people there.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And they go there every year. I'm not going to say what date, because we don't want the wrong people showing up. But
I think we can figure that out.
They have a march every year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, photos 27 and 28, we switch away from the neos, or whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
This is all that's left of the Lausen Wool Company's fat rendering factory way south Patagonia on the Atlantic coast. Normally, all the little villages had a shop where they would buy wool from the sheep herders and then sell whatever they needed. But this one was rendering fat and oil from whales and seals. And allegedly, U-boats were coming in there to pick up supplies or whatever. I tend to discount these stories unless there's enough smoke, then I go and look to see if there's a fire, and we're going there also to find out if anybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
So moving up to number 29, that's an aerial photo taken of a place in Chile in 2011.
Huh.
That's only a few years ago.
Yeah. What are we looking at? What are the white objects? What are they?
I don't know what it is, but it's made into a swastika. Actually, it's facing the wrong direction.
It's backwards.
Yeah. Well, that facing backwards like that.
Those are all people. They're down on their knees.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, people in white gowns.
Yep.
Well, okay, so we've got modern art, performance art.
It could be the picture's just reversed, but...
could be.
Yeah, that's what they're...
Anyhow, picture 30. This old farmer was knocking down a wall, and the wall was made back in the 30s and 40s, and look, you see the swastika embossed into every brick.
How interesting.
Yep. And then we go to photo number... we can go back and talk about anything if we got time, but I know you're crunched. 31 and 32... These photos were taken in Brazil this year, 2014.
Well, there are a lot of World War II flags like that red one in people's homes around the world, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's
there.
For sure. That's basically the Navy flag, the Kriegsmarine flag.
Yeah.
But it's used for a lot of other things. And then you'll notice pictures of Hitler on a, I guess that's a lamppost or phone pole or something, in a town, city, whatever, in Brazil. My guess is that was on the around the 20th of April, which would have been Hitler's birthday. He was born in 1889, so obviously he's dead long ago. But
well, he died in 62?
In the early 60s, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And remember I told you we had evidence that Eva Braun was still alive in 2002, which would have made her 90 years old. We've just been informed by another friend in South America that she was still alive in 2012, excuse me, which would have made her 100 years of age, which is not impossible.
Not impossible. No.
Oh, Captain Hardigan, Reinhard Hardigan, the guy who was commander of U-123, who sank the first ship in American waters. I just heard from him after his 101st birthday in March.
Nice.
He doesn't play golf so much anymore, but he still drives his car.
Good for
and
him.
I got an email from his son who told me that Hardigan's children, the two sons and the one daughter, they're just aghast that he still drives his car at 801. So I emailed back and said, well, that's normal here in Florida.
Old
people with driver's licenses, but, you know, 101 years old. God bless him. He's still in good enough shape to drive a car.
Indeed.
My granddad's big sister was 104 when she died. Leni Riefenstahl, the brilliant filmmaker, she was 101 when she died. So it's not impossible. So,
right. Well, it would be amazing if she would, of course she wouldn't, but to have her, if Ava was still around, to tell her story or certainly a part of it.
That would be incredible, but I'm not holding my breath.
No.
I'm still trying to get a meeting with Isabelita, Perón's last wife.
Oh, yeah.
That we've got a photo on our website of her standing there with her right arm out in the air in the so-called Nazi salute, which in reality was the Roman salute.
Correct.
But this was in 1974 she was doing this. And so I've written to her a couple of times, and no response. So I got a feeling she's happy living the good life in Spain and not wanting to complicate matters.
When are you going back to Germany?
In 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay. Don't forget I'd like a brick.
Okay. If I can do it.
Remember?
If I can do it. I know what you mean.
Just go to your nearest post office there and send it.
And bring it back in my suitcases.
No, you UPS it.
Okay. One way or the other.
I'll pay.
There's a lot of documents I'm going to be looking at that I have to take photos of, and then I'm going to email the photos home. Then I'm going to mail the chip and, you know, to make sure it gets here.
Yeah, yeah.
Last but not least, the last photo, that's our newest book with the cover designed by your friend David Dees.
Yeah.
And this is Hitler and the Secret Alliance. And we're taking pre-production orders on that. It's going to be out in about 3 weeks. That's still $25 plus $6 shipping. Michael Ivanheim is the guy who wrote the majority of the book, which we have now called The Secret Alliance. And we've embedded that into this book, Hitler and the Secret Alliance, and we've added about another 150 pages with documents, diagrams, photographs, etc. And basically, this book is a journey into the past and, to some extent, the present in the southern half of the Western Hemisphere. Almost everybody's been exposed to some aspects of World War I and World War II Germany.
Yeah.
And to a lesser extent to South America. However, only a few have dug deeply into the history of South America. where Germany and Italy, but primarily Germany, had settled and colonized most of South America, or most of Argentina and Chile, around the turn of the last century, and they had a program of depopulization, which meant they hunted down the native tribes and killed them all, so that most of Argentina is there for the Europeans to settle, which in large part it was. So the foundations were laid. Wealthy German families were there. They had huge ranches, estancias, and that's where Hitler and Eva Braun stayed when they first got to Argentina, because it was the dead of winter when they got there, we think July or August 1945. That's the dead of winter down there. And they stayed at the Estancia San Ramon until their place was ready on Lake Nahuelwapi. And they went there in the springtime. And so these big estancias were all German-owned. I understand now they're being bought out by wealthy Americans. Somebody told me that Ted Turner bought one and subdivided it, sold to a bunch of his Hollywood buddies. I don't know if this is true or not, but that's what I was told by one of my people in Argentina. So the groundwork was laid, the foundations were there, and for instance, when the Panzerschiff Graf Spee had to be scuttled in the River Platte, the whole crew was interned in Argentina, but almost all the officers escaped, and they had tremendous amount of German help. So most of them came back to Germany and became U-boat skippers. Several of them were members of Shark Hunters until their death, and others stayed in South America to work in the spook business. So they had tremendous help from the German families and the wealthy Germans living there. And as you read this second book, Hitler and the Secret Alliance, it all falls into place.
That's another sensational book cover.
Oh yeah, your friend David Dees is one hell of a genius at this stuff.
Well, we kind of collaborated on that one too.
Right, I know you had a lot of input.
Well, he's the man, and
right. Oh yeah, he does fantastic work, and we're putting we've got a one page in this new book, Hitler and the Secret Alliance, where we highlight his work, other covers he's done, and where people can contact him in case they've got a book.
If you folks, exactly what Harry's saying, if you have a book or a DVD and you want a cover that'll sell your book or your DVD, contact David Dees. He's in a class by himself.
Yeah, he's incredibly creative.
Yeah.
You know, probably anybody could put these covers together, but coming up with the concept, that's the tough part, figuring out what you want to show, how you want to show it. That's tough. That's incredible. That's your creativity.
Yeah.
So he's done a heck of a job. Both my books, Hitler in Argentina and also Hitler and the Secret Alliance, he's done the covers for those. And when we get the next book ready to go, which will probably be late next year, we'll have the next book.
Great. Well, he can go back and do your earlier productions, too.
Oh, so, I was fixing to do that.
Yeah.
I was fixing to talk to him about that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because yeah. They really jump. They come alive. You know,
well,
the covers on them now,
yeah.
I designed them, and, you know, I'm kind of a neophyte for sure.
Well, they're good, but he's just... He's
a zillion times better.
Yeah. I mean, I like the DVD cover, but
yeah.
That same theme has been used for many, many books. The same colors, the same general sense or feel of it. And I'd love to see something different that would that would jump.
I know when he first designed this book, it was primarily red on the upper half of it.
Yeah.
You didn't like that, so you had him shoot us this one that we used. And I was getting a lot of static from some of the staff here. Some said, oh, yeah, this cover's great. And then others are saying, no, the red cover's great. So I sent an email to the Shark Hunter Advisory Board and asked them what they thought was better. And it came back about, it was close to even, but there were two votes more for this cover. Plus, I like this cover better, and I get the final vote. My vote overrides everybody.
I honestly just think it's one of the best-looking book covers I've ever seen. It's terrific.
And the swastika superimposed over that lake in a canyon has a lot more meaning than you realize and a lot more meaning than I can say on the air.
Harry, thank you very much again, as always. I'll talk to you before you leave on your trip. You take good care of yourself, and we'll be in touch.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, brother. Take care.
Righto. You too. Bye-bye.
Harry Cooper, Commander Cooper. And there he goes. All right. That's hour one, and we'll be back with Dr. Henry Nyman in just a couple minutes.